what will your answer be? Something, when I got saved, I really didn't understand. But I'm thankful that God left His Word down here, so that after you get saved, you can start to understand a lot of things about salvation. That's very important. It's very important to know how much the Lord loves you and how much He trusts you and sets you free. It's very important to know how free you are of the penalty of death for sin. When Christ died on the cross, He paid the death penalty for sin that you were born under. I didn't understand that. I just knew I was sinful. I knew I was going to hell. I knew I needed a Savior. It takes less than a grain of mustard seed to be saved. You don't have to understand any great deep theological things. But after you get saved, it sure is nice to understand what Jesus really did for you. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. Dead to a death sentence, alive in Christ. I was born under a death sentence. Physical death. But I was also born under a spiritual death sentence. Death is a separation. The Bible clearly defines it in that manner. You can be separated from your parents, your children, your friends, by physical death. That's a separation. I was born spiritually dead toward God. But I'm not spiritually dead toward God anymore. And I think it's important to understand just how free you've been set and what you've been set free from. You haven't been set free from the ability to sin. After you're saved, you have tremendous ability to sin, just as much as you did before you were saved, because sin is in your flesh. And we're going to talk about that today, because there are some things that we need to understand about it. It gives us more confidence in Christ. It shows us how much God really loves us and how He set us free from the penalty for sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, we're told, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul." That, of course, was Adam in the Garden of Eden. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Now, the first Adam was not sinful. He was created without sin by God from the dust of the earth. And he was given a commandment to oversee all the things in the garden and not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, he sinned. You say, "Well, if I had been there, I wouldn't have sinned." Oh, yes, you would have. God wants people to choose Him. Adam didn't choose God. The first Adam was made by God. Adam didn't have any choice in the process whatsoever. God just made him, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Adam had no choice in the matter. God made him. God breathed into him. He was God's creation. But Adam had no choice in the matter. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God has always intended to gather together a nation of people, a race of people who have chosen Him because of who He is. And the choice was theirs, and they made it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He had no sin. He was a living soul, body, soul, and spirit. But he sinned. All he had to do was don't eat of that tree, and he did. When he did, this is what happened, Genesis 2:7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They were exposed before God, and the first thing they did was to try to cover up what they were, and they used their own hands, their own ability, to try to make a covering for what they had become. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's what they did. And that's what I spent the first 12 years of my life, at least the last four of it, the last 4 years of my early life, from age 8 to 12, trying to cover up what I was, make myself acceptable to God by being a good boy, by obeying my grandmother, following the commandments of God, keeping the commandments of the Old Testament, thereby making myself acceptable to God. I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried, because I had inherited this Adamic nature. But what is the Adamic nature? Let me describe it to you. When they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, for the first time they ran and they hid from him. He said, "Where art thou, Adam?" He knew where Adam was. He knew where Eve was. So why would he ask the question? Adam came out. Did Adam come out and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've sinned. I've disobeyed you." No. He said, "The woman." He blamed the woman. "That thou gavest me." Indirectly, he blamed God. "If you hadn't given me this woman, it wouldn't have happened." That's what he said. Then he asked the woman, and the woman said, "The devil." And she blamed the devil. That's you. That's me. We try to blame other people for our own personal faults. And if you don't think you have any, then you're the worst one in this building. Because we all have the nature to cover up what we are publicly, and as much as possible privately, and we all try to blame other people for what we are. God just wanted them to come out. Do I believe if Adam had come out and beat on his chest and said, "God be merciful to me, I've sinned," that God would have forgiven him? Yes, I do. But God knew he wouldn't. And Adam had a lesson to learn. So did Eve. So do every one of you. So did I. And thank God it took four lessons, 4 years, from age 8 to 12, but I finally learned the lesson. We are born with this Adamic nature to find a way to justify ourselves before God by our own abilities. It's a natural inherited thing. "Well, I'm just as good as he is. I'm just as good as she is." Yeah, you are. And whoever he is referring to is just as big a sinner as you are, and you're just as big a sinner as they are. We are born with this Adamic nature to find a way to justify ourselves before God by our own abilities. It's natural and inherited. You say, "Well, don't try to hide it. Admit it." That's what God wants you to do. That's what he wanted Adam and Eve to do. Come out of hiding. We are born spiritually dead toward God in spirit because of the penalty for sin. You were born spiritually dead toward God. As much as I love my mother, as much as I miss her, as much as I'm thankful to God for, my mother was born spiritually dead toward God in spirit because of the penalty for sin. So was my father. So was my grandfather. So was my grandmother. So were all my ancestors. So were yours. This is true of all of us. We are born spiritually dead toward God in spirit because of the penalty for sin. You know what the penalty for sin is? Death. What is death? Spiritual separation from God forever. Physical death. We were born under that. We were born physically dead to God in the flesh because of the penalty for sin. We are born physically alive in the soul and flesh toward the devil. When I was born, I wasn't physically dead toward the devil. I was very much alive toward him. I wasn't spiritually dead toward the devil. I was very much alive toward him. But I was spiritually dead to God in the flesh. I was spiritually dead to God in the spirit. And I was born under a sentence of death. God's condemnation. Death. I was born dying. I was born spiritually dead and physically dead. You say, well, I wasn't. You better wake up and realize you were. When God saves us, he crucifies our soul with Christ and spiritually makes it alive toward him through Christ. It took me 4 years to realize I was helplessly, hopelessly, sinfully incapable of obeying God's standard of righteousness. Finally, at age 12, after 4 years, I learned it. And I just threw up my hands in the air, acknowledged before God I'm a sinner and I'm helpless. And I trusted in Christ and called on his name. When God saves us, he crucifies our soul with Christ. He doesn't crucify our flesh with Christ. He crucifies our spiritual man with Christ. And he spiritually makes that soul alive toward him through Christ. Jesus paid our sin debt. And we are set free in him for the death penalty for sin. I was passed from death unto life. God breathed into me his spirit in the new birth. And my soul was eternally sealed by the Spirit of the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. And my soul is no longer under the death penalty for sin. And I am in eternal union, spiritual union with God forever. By choice. By choice. By choice. First Adam had no choice. When God gave him the choice, he failed. I fail daily, but I chose Jesus. I chose God. I love God because I'm saved totally by grace. Set free in the spirit now and in body later. One day my old carnal man's going to be resurrected. Then he'll be set free from the curse of sin and he'll be gloriously changed. John 8:36 says a mouthful, and it's what it's all about. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Daryl, I didn't ask Daryl to do that song this morning. You'd almost think there was a Holy Spirit, wouldn't you, Daryl? What will your answer be? And it's about the soul. Has your soul been resurrected with Christ? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let's take a look and let's see. John 11, 14, 17 through 24. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Before this, Lazarus had been sick. Jesus knew he was going to die, but he stayed right where he was until Lazarus was dead. And had been dead for a long time. When Jesus got there, he'd been dead for 4 days, 4 nights. And Mary and Martha said, Lord, his body stinks by now. Then when Jesus came, verse 17, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. He deliberately delayed his coming there because he didn't want any doubt about what he was about to do. And he had a principle he wanted us to understand, and he wanted them to understand. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. It was just the other side of the Mount of Olives, toward the east from Jerusalem. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. He'd been dead for 4 days in the tomb. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She said, I know you could have healed him, like you've healed so many other people. I know you could have spoken the word, touched him. He would have been healed. He said, I know that, Lord. But it was too late. He'd been dead for 4 days, and they felt like his body was stinking by now. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now notice what Martha said. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. She refers to physical body resurrection. There are a lot of people that believe all that there is of those people we knew who had their faith in Jesus is lying out there in the grave. And that when that resurrection occurs, their body, their soul, and their spirits all going to come to life, and they're coming up out of the grave. That isn't true. God saves the soul now. Right now, in this life. And the body later on is resurrected. Now, she says, I know he shall rise again, the resurrection at the last day. She said, Master, I know. That's true. And she was a believer. She was saved. She knew the Lord. John 5:40. He told a bunch of scribes and Pharisees that already had physical life in verse 39 that they needed something else he had that they didn't have. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He's talking about spiritual life. He refers to the soul's spiritual resurrection. Do you know that my soul's already been resurrected from the dead? Do you know that my soul was resurrected from the dead 59 years ago? And do you know your soul was resurrected from the dead whenever you got saved? And do you know that the death penalty that was on your sin, the condemnation of God on it, was removed the moment your soul was saved and sealed by God? And do you know that he'll never leave that soul nor forsake it? And do you realize when you die, that soul is going to go immediately into the presence of heaven, in the presence of God and the angels? If you're saved, you've already been resurrected in the soul. You've already been buried with Christ. You've already been resurrected with him. You have been removed from the death penalty for sin. Whenever Jesus told them, and if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I got set free from the death penalty, spiritual death. I got set free from the spiritual death penalty 59 years ago. You say, well, are you set free from physical death? No. I'm going to die physically. You say, well, now you might be lucky and the rapture might occur. The rapture is an instantaneous death and transformation. It occurs in the less than a blinking of an eye, but it's death. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's future for me, whether I'm still alive or whether my body's left out here in a grave. But my soul has already been resurrected from the dead. It was crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ. And now I'm in Christ, and nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's who you have as a Savior. Now, if you can't serve him based on the freedom that he's given you, and you can't be faithful in church attendance and in your giving and in your offering and your study of God's Word to learn more about him and about yourself and about what life's all about, if you can't do that based on what he's done for you and the freedom he's given you, I'm not going to badger you and force you to serve God by threatening you with anything. Because God wants you to serve him in love. And I think one of the most important things is understanding just how free he sets your soul from eternal damnation in hell. John 11:25. Martha saith, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I was spiritually dead as a doornail toward God, desperately seeking to find God and to have some change made in my life because I didn't want to go to hell. And when I came to Jesus Christ and asked him to save me, God crucified me. My soul. He crucified my soul with his Son. He buried me with his Son. And he resurrected my soul with his Son and removed me forever from the death penalty of spiritual death. And my soul will never die, and it will never be separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I don't have to wait for my soul to be resurrected. It's already been resurrected in Jesus. In Galatians 2:20, this is what Paul is talking about. Now this, if you know Christ as your Savior, This is some pretty wonderful information. And don't sit there thinking, well, did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? What, was I sincere? Was I honest? Was I straightforward? Listen, ask yourself this question. Right now, am I trusting in Jesus and Him alone as my Savior? And do I believe that He died for my sins, was buried for my justification, and resurrected from the dead? And did I call on His name? Am I trusting in Jesus? Ask yourself that question. It was your soul that believed. It wasn't your flesh. And if you sit there and tell me, my flesh has never doubted, baloney. Your flesh cannot believe, will not believe, until He's gloriously changed at what they call the first resurrection or the rapture. But your soul believes. And the death penalty spiritual, a soul dies spiritually, which is separation from God forever in hell. But God saved your soul the moment you believed and put your faith in Christ. He crucified you with, crucified your soul with Christ, resurrected your soul with Christ, and Christ is alive in you. Galatians 2, 20, 21, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Paul said. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I got a new spirit, the spirit of Christ. He's in me. And He is sealed in with my soul. And I don't want to get away from Him. And if I did, He wouldn't let me go anyway. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. It's grace, my friend. You better accept it. It's pure grace. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ died for me. You know why God smote Him? You know why it says God smote Him? Because God did smite Him. And He separated Christ from Him, the man. And that's why Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat as it were great drops of blood. For the first time in that man's existence, since he was formed and made in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that man was going to be separated from his Father in that spiritual death. And he hung along on that cross, hung alone. And for 3 days and three nights, he was stone cold dead, separated spiritually from his heavenly Father. And then God resurrected him from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's my Savior. He paid the price for me. My soul is no longer under God's condemnation. That man died for me. That man was condemned for me. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He took my punishment. He took my pain. He took my agony. He suffered the death penalty spiritually for me. And when I believed in him, something happened that only God can do. He crucified me with his son, my soul. He crucified my soul with his son. He buried my soul with his son. He resurrected me with his son. To live in newness of life. John 11:26, he continues. He tells Martha, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Well, he certainly wasn't talking about physical death, because everybody dies physically. But he said, if you're living and you believe in me, you'll never die. Believeth thou this? You want to test as to whether or not you're saved? Right now, this moment, is your faith in Jesus Christ? Is it totally in Him? If you were to die right now, would the Lord take you to heaven? What will your answer be? Either you've been removed from the permanent punishment of eternal damnation in hell, or you haven't. You say, well, I wanted it. You don't have to worry about you doing something. Do you believe He did something? Do you believe He did it all? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, you're alive right now. Do you believe in Him for your salvation? I do. Brother Michael Murray, will you ever die spiritually toward God? Never! Why? Believeth thou this? You say, well, I didn't understand all that when I got saved. Well, welcome to the club. I didn't either. But I do now. That's why I'm preaching this morning. That's why I'm pastoring this church. That's why I'm in God's service. Listen, somebody that did that for me when I was helpless and couldn't do it myself, you think I'm going to run away and hide from them? I've come out in the open. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a publican. Totally dependent upon His grace. Brother, it's a wonderful feeling of freedom. It's not, you're not set free to sin. You're set free to serve God. But praise God, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You have Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:3. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians 3:3. For you are dead. You know what you died to when God Christ saved you? You died to the penalty of spiritual death. You're dead toward the price, the condemnation, the sin penalty that condemns you to spiritual death. You died to it. You're dead. Your soul was crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ. Oh, you've still got sinful flesh, but you're dead to the spiritual penalty of death, which is eternal separation from God. God made you dead to it. You didn't. He did. He said, well, boy, you have to have a lot of faith. You have to have faith in God, in Christ, and not in yourself. And your life is hid with Christ and God. The Lord's right here inside me with my soul, and He sealed it. And the devil can't get me unless he can whip Christ, unless he can overcome God. And I'm told that nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ and God. I'm dead to the death penalty of spiritual death for sin, but I'm alive, spiritually alive in Christ, and He'll never cast me out. I tell you what, I know how important it is to understand what God's Son did for you. And a lot of preachers will say, well, if they understood that, they'd quit serving God. I don't want you to come to church with a burden on your heart and a fear like this is a duty and a responsibility that you have to do. I want you to come to church because you love God. I want you to come to church because Christ means something to you. I want you to come to church because you understand what He did for you on that cross. When you start coming for that reason, it's because you love God. You can put up with sorry preaching and everything else when you come to understand what He did for you. For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ and God. That's true of every one of you that trust in Jesus as your Savior. Man, if you can't serve somebody like that, that sets you that free, you'll never serve anybody. And all the browbeating in the world, and all the threatening, and all the jumping down and screaming, and all the sweet talk that you get from preachers will never keep you in church. People come to church and they're faithful because they fall in love with Jesus. John 10:28-30. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'm in Christ. Christ is in God. God is in Christ. Christ is me, is in me. And nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:3, for you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ and God. I'm dead. The sin penalty for spiritual death. I will never separate from God by spiritual death. Because I'm alive in Jesus, and I'm going to live as long as Jesus does. He'll never cast me out. Romans 6:7-14. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Oh, does this mean I don't sin anymore? No. It means I'm dead to the death penalty for sin that was upon me completely. And my soul has been passed from death unto life. I'm no longer under the condemnation of God, and I'm freed from the penalty of eternal damnation, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. I am not set free from physical death. And my physical body is going to experience death because of sin. But my soul has been set free from the penalty of spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. But if my soul was crucified with Him, buried with Him, I believe it's been resurrected with Him. It's what Paul said. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. I'm not going back under the condemnation of God. I've been passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. And spiritual death hath no more dominion over him. I'm never going to be spiritually dead again. I'm going to be physically dead. either instantaneously at the rapture or when I breathe my last breath. Verse 10. For in that he died into sin once. It was a one-time sacrifice. When I went to him one time, that sacrifice covered me. I'm no longer spiritually dead. My soul's been made alive in Christ. There's sin in my flesh, but my soul is caught with a daily battle of choice. It's saved. It's sealed. My soul is daily faced with this. Lovest thou me more than these? It's a daily battle. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what I am, physically alive toward Jesus Christ my Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should abide in the lust thereof. You're supposed to put up a fight. It's a daily fight. It's a soul fight. It's your saved soul that can never be condemned again, putting up a fight against the flesh and putting up a submission to God. That's what shows your love for God. Your soul tells you, you need to go to church. It's told that by the Spirit. The Spirit tells the soul, you need to go to church. You need to worship God. You need to give to God. You need to do this. You need to be baptized. You need to be this. You need to be that. Your saved spirit keeps telling you that. Christ in you keeps telling you that. And your flesh keeps saying, no, 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 no. It's not important to do this. It's not important to go and listen to the Word of God. There are things more important. And you, the soul, are making constant choices, not between heaven and hell, but between rewards in heaven or the like of them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are things that God meant for us to understand that we better understand after we're saved. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You need to be faithful in attendance to God, but it's a choice. You don't have to do this. You don't have to be here this morning. You can walk out of here and never serve God again. But once you come to understand how much he loves you and how set free he set you and just what he did for you on that cross, and that he's in there every day trying to get you to live for him, you fall in love with him and you start coming to church for the right reason. You want to understand what his word had to say. For those of you who never understood this morning before you came here, aren't you rejoicing inside in your heart and understanding what you now understand about what Christ did for you? And the word of God has no bottom. It's depthless. It's as deep as the oceans and seas of the world, even deeper. And there's a raft of material in there. And that's why God calls preachers to teach people the word of God, not only to be saved, but to have gratitude and understanding in how much grace there is in God and how much forgiveness. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You don't have to give in to sin all the time. It can't be the dominant complete feature in your life. For you're not under the law, but under grace. You think I don't try not to stretch the truth in my favor? You think I don't try not to love people as much as I love myself? You think I don't try to do these things? I don't always succeed, but I have an advocate with the Father, and I confess my sins, and I'm not going to hell because I've been eternally set free from the condemnation of God. Now let's take a look at this last verses, because that's what it's all about. Now you're saved. You understand this. How grateful are you to the Lord? And how useful is this information that you've learned about your Savior and how much he loved you to pay the total price for your sins? If you then be risen with Christ, well, I was crucified with him. My soul was crucified with him, buried with him, resurrected with him. So what am I supposed to do? Seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Why do you think I teach about the millennial reign all the time? Why do you think I teach about the heaven age? Why do you think I keep emphasizing the inheritance in heaven and the rewards that God has waiting for us there? Those are the things that are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead. You've been made spiritually dead toward the condemnation that would have left you under spiritual death and sent you to hell. Your soul has been set free. And your life that you're now living is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What will your answer be? I know him as Savior. I know him because a long time ago I asked him and trusted in him because I realized I was helpless to keep God's standard of righteousness, and he saved me. Then he led me to scriptural baptism, and here I am today. Every day when I get up, he tries to lead me during the day. And every day my soul either says yes to the flesh or to the Spirit. Every Sunday morning, you've got a choice. Every Sunday night, you've got a choice. Whenever we assemble together, you've got a choice. And I'm not going to browbeat you into serving God by coming and worship Him in spirit and in truth. All I can do is tell you, that's what you're supposed to do, and it's an outward indication of your love for Him. As the song leader and pianist come, as Bob turns off the sound system, we're going to have an invitation. If God's dealing with you this morning, you come.